impact of the Holy Spirit on our physical bodies. The impact of the Holy Spirit on our physical bodies. And this is very important. It's good for us to know it and know how to apply God's word to our lives in that area. The impact of the Holy Spirit on your body. We talked about our bodies being the temple of the Holy Spirit and being the members of Christ. If you would look at the book of Ephesians and Ephesians chapter 2, I want you to read verse 22. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 22. Great. In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. In other words, God lives in us through the Holy Ghost. God Almighty lives in us through the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, what's the difference between Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit? The same. The difference is King James. So, all right, the Holy Spirit lives in us individually. He lives in me as though He doesn't know you. He lives in you as though He doesn't know the other one. In other words, He deals with us as though we're the only one in the world. Praise God. Say this with me. The Holy Ghost lives in me. Now, if you haven't received the Holy Spirit, you better do that now. You receive the Holy Spirit by faith. Same way you receive Jesus into your heart. But you know, yesterday we were asking a question. Why is it that even though some people have received the Holy Spirit, a lot of people, they still get sick? Why? Apart from what we dealt with last week. Primarily because they're ignorant of the work of the Spirit in their lives. And because of that ignorance, they don't know how to give God the opportunity to carry out His ministry in their lives. We have to understand this. The Holy Spirit has come to carry out His ministry in us. He has a ministry in us. Now, there's a ministry of the Holy Spirit through us. But He does have a ministry in us. He has a ministry in you. You can let Him carry out that ministry. And you can also hinder Him from fulfilling His ministry. You know, some people say, nobody can stop God from doing what He wants to do. It's not true. Oh, if God wants to do anything, He just does it. Not true. Didn't you read that in the Old Testament, the Bible says they resisted the Holy Ghost? They did. The children of Israel resisted the Holy Ghost. You can stop the Holy Spirit from doing what He wants to do in your life. You may not be able to stop Him from doing what He wants to do in my life. I may not be able to stop Him from doing what He wants to do in your life. But we can stop Him from doing what He wants to do in our lives. Hallelujah. Now, we read yesterday, your body is the temple, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Then we also read in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16 where He said, I will walk in them. I will dwell in them and walk in them. And we explained the meaning of walk. You remember that? What did he say it was? Yes. Yes. But now let's look at something. In Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter 8. Are you there? I love the word of God. Ho. Do you love the word? Whisper it. Say, I love the word. In Romans chapter number 8, I'll read to you from verse. Sometimes I almost want to include everything because I want to read to you from verse 10, but verse 9 is so beautiful. And then I'll say, oh, verse 8 is wonderful. And then verse 7 is just wonderful, you know. Until I get back to verse 1. Okay, let me read it from verse 10 for you. It says here, and if Christ be in you, oh, thank you, Lord. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is alive because of righteousness. Now, this is one of those complex verses of the Bible that lots of translators have had problems with. There are at least three words italicized in the King James Version. That shows you that as far as the King James translators are concerned, there were three missing words, missing connections, okay, in that verse. Three missing connections in their original manuscripts. Now, I've looked at several other versions, and I noticed they all had problems with that verse. And I find no reason for the problem at all. Why? Because the context is clear. But we must understand that most of our translators have come from a background that believed that the days of miracles are over. Most of them. Incidentally, most of them have a very religious background that's not really motivated by the Holy Spirit. Some of them were good theologians, studying about God, studying God without knowing God. You see, of course, many others were wonderful, beautiful. But it's important for us to understand why sometimes there are difficult areas. And so when they look at it, like in the King James, they look at, oh, we've got three missing connections here. And so they bring in some conjunctions and they say, well, this should help. And then it doesn't help. Let me read it to you. Again, from the King James. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. Come on. But the spirit is life because of righteousness. Doesn't make sense. It has no spiritual sense. It has no spiritual sense. Because the physical body is not called dead in the Bible. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. No. The body is not dead. You get it? So they say, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. That is was not there. Why do they think that the missing connection should be in this place where the is was thrown in? How do you know where it ought to be? You see it? Problem there. All right, who's got the Amplified? Anybody here got an Amplified? Let me read to you from the Amplified. And I want you to notice what it says here. It says, but if Christ lives in you, then he gives us where he thinks the italics should be. Now, italicized words in the King James mean words that were not in the original manuscript. Now, in a version like the Amplified, they'll put it in parentheses. Okay? So you can tell. Alright, so here, they say, instead of putting is there, they say then, although. Alright? So let me read it. They brought in two words, then, although. Okay? So I'll read that with what they said here. But if Christ lives in you, then although your natural body is dead, although. So they're saying, it's not your body is dead, like King James says. They're saying, it sounds more like even if your body were dead because of sin. Alright? Now, they're coming close. Now, they go, King James says, the spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, that's another trouble there because you can't tell. They're talking about the Holy Ghost or talking about the human spirit, the recreated human spirit, or who are they talking about? Because it's the same Greek word, pneuma, that's used for spirit, whether it's of man or of God or of a devil. Now, in the King James, they suggest a capital S when they refer to the Spirit of God and a small letter S when they refer to the human spirit. They suggest that. But in many cases, they are wrong. The context tells you. Alright? Okay. Now, let's look. So, it says here, I read the Amplified. But if Christ lives in you, then although your natural body is dead by reason of sin and guilt, the spirit is alive. And they use a small letter S here. The spirit is alive because of the righteousness that he imputes to you. Trouble, 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 you see. Then you say, well, we study the Bible, we can't be sure what they're saying. We can be sure what they're saying. Now, I've looked at several of these versions, and let me give you what this word says. You ready? Okay. And if Christ be in you, though your body be dead because of sin, the Spirit gives it life because of righteousness. You see that? Now, that tells us something because it goes to the next verse shows us that that is right. Now, let's look at it again. And if Christ be in you, if Christ lives in you, though your body be dead because of sin. In other words, even at the worst case scenario, if your body be dead because of sin, if your body has been so messed up, so destroyed, sickness has attacked it, disease has attacked it. He says, if because of sin, death has attacked our physical bodies, he says, the Spirit gives it life because righteousness has come. You see that? Righteousness has been granted us. The Spirit gives it life. So it is not the human spirit as suggested by the Amplified. It's the Holy Ghost as suggested by verse 11. That's the next verse. Look at it. Now, it starts with the word and. That word doesn't have to be and. The Greek word is de. Meaning, it could be now. The word instead of being and could be now. You see that? Now, if, or what you have there is but. Did you notice? But, verse 11. But, it doesn't have to be but, it's and, it's now. The word now is better there. Because it connects it and introduces a new thought. Are you following me? So, but is not so good there. Several versions don't put but anyway. But you got but in the King James here. So, now, if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, you see that? It says, though your body were dead because of sin, The Spirit gives it life because of righteousness. Now he says, look at it. Now, if the Spirit of him that raised the dead body of Jesus. Can you see that now? The Spirit that raised the dead body of Jesus. When was the dead body of Jesus raised? When the demands of justice were satisfied. And he was made righteous in the Spirit. When he was made righteous in the Spirit, the Holy Ghost raised his dead body back to life. That's what you have in that 10th verse. That's why I said they shouldn't have had any problem translating that verse at all. Because the whole fact is in verse 11. But once you throw the word "but" in there, you got a little problem. You start thinking, where do I go from here? Hallelujah. If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead lives in you. If he does, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also, you see that? Shall also, King James says, quicken. In Nigerian English, that will make, it will mean make you faster. But that's wrong. It means to give life. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also vitalize. Your mortal bodies. Hallelujah. By his, oh boy, do I like this. He says, by his Spirit, not coming from heaven, but that dwelleth in you. That means this work is in the now. You see that? He's not saying when we get to heaven, it's now. He's telling you what the Holy Ghost can do in your physical body now. If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead lives in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, vitalize, make alive your mortal body by the Holy Ghost that dwells in you. The Spirit that lives in you. That's where the power is. He says he shall vitalize your mortal body by the Spirit of God that lives in you. That lives in you. Not coming from somewhere else. That lives in you. The one inside you. Hallelujah. Now that settles the matter of sickness forever. It means the healing power has come to reside within you. You see that? Sickness is incipient death. And so, if death therefore has attacked your body through sickness or disease or infirmity, if the Holy Spirit is in you, you have nothing to fear. You have nothing to worry about. The healer has come home. You see that? The one that made Jesus the healer, who had enough power to raise the dead Jesus back to life, dwells in you. He has made his home in your body. How can I worry anymore? No, look at it. How can I worry anymore? Worry is over. The healer lives in me. I'm his home address. My troubles are over. No more fear. No more worry. The healer has come home. Hallelujah. He lives in me. He says, now, if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that same Spirit shall vitalize your mortal body. See that? It doesn't matter what I caught. Like they say, I caught the flu. You shouldn't have caught it. You should have killed it. But it doesn't matter what you came up with. The power lives in you now. Oh, I wish every Christian in the world would understand this. But most have never been taught. Most have never been taught. In fact, a lot of Christians have been taught that sickness is normal. Oh, it's normal if you drink something. They say, do you mean to tell me if you drink dirty water, it will not affect you? Hmm? You know, they. I told you yesterday, when natural men talk, they make sense. When spiritual men talk, they don't make sense. Do you understand? They only make what we call spiritual sense. Do you mean to tell me? If you continue eating only rice, you wouldn't have beriberi? You know, a lot of Christians now are studying, trying to find out what to eat and what not to eat. They're consulting physicians and dietitians and so on and so forth and trying to find out what do I eat and what do I not eat. Ignorance gone on rampage. It's a groping in the dark. They've gone a wandering away from the scriptures. Do you know who the Christian is? Don't you understand what it says? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. In the Old Testament, he told him what to eat and what not to eat. The lots of Christians, you know, they're studying, they call it back to the Bible to find Bible food. I've never seen ignorance like this in the church. I mean, it looks like the more knowledge we get, the more ignorance we pack up. Back to the Bible food. There's Bible food. And what's this Bible food? All the foods recommended in the Old Testament to God's people to eat. So if we eat those ones, we're going to be all right. But they died. They died. Don't you understand? They ate that food and died. That's what Jesus said to them. He said, your fathers ate manna in the wilderness. Well, where are they? He said, they're dead. So I've come to give you food that if a man will eat, he will not die. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo! My. This is Bible food. Bible food. If some people would give just a fraction of the time they give to the so-called Bible foods, if they'll give it to learning the scriptures, they'll be all right. Do you know the Christian is not an ordinary person? When Paul talked about eating in the New Testament, he didn't say, go back and find out what to eat and what not. No. He said, now that you are born again, doesn't matter what you eat. He said, there's nothing unclean of itself. Nothing unclean anymore. You want to eat what you want to eat? All you need is give thanks. Hallelujah. He said, if you give thanks, you can eat anything. That's all. Eat what you want to. Just give thanks. Let me tell you another thing you need to understand. Did you know? Oh my goodness. I wish I had so. Let me tell you this. And it's important that you know it. For the Christian, no food that you will eat will nourish your body. I'll say it again. No food in this world will nourish your body. I want it to sink. Let it soak you know, those who are looking for something to eat, that's this is very nourishing, and they ain't nourishing. Listen, the reason you eat physical food is not just nourishment. Otherwise, we'll get it in liquids alone. But if you take it in liquids alone, you'll not be strong. So it's not just nourishment. Food is not for only nourishment. Did you hear me? Now listen to this. Let me read this verse I just read to you. Can I read to you again? If the spirit of him, verse 11, if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also vitalize your mortal bodies by the spirit that dwelleth in you. So it's done by the Holy Ghost. You know, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. He didn't say, man shall not live by bread at all. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So, the word of God can be used in converting anything you want to eat to something good. Can you see? Now that's why Paul said, anything you want to eat is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. That's what he said. He said it's sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Sanctified by the word and prayer. So when you say that word of prayer, you give a word that makes that food become real good. Then it gets into your body and produces nourishment in your body, not because of what its constituents are, but because of the word of faith which you have spoken. Otherwise, we are doomed to what they tell us. Everybody must be sick somehow. Are you still there? Yeah. Hey, your body. You know, the life of the physical body is in the blood. Is that right? Everybody knows that. The life of the physical body is in the blood. Okay, let's see what happened to you. St. John's Gospel. Even though I've already read it to you here in Romans 8:11, but let's pick it from St. John's Gospel, chapter number 1. I love the Word. I love the Word. I love the Word. Chapter 1, St. John's Gospel. I want you to read to me from verse 12 into verse 13. 12, one to go. This is when you were born again. This new life is not of blood. Oh boy, I've got to explain this thing to you. I want you to understand this. You know, a lot of people think that when you're a Christian, you got two natures. Did you ever hear that two nature doctrine? They said they got two natures. There's the human nature, and then there's the God nature. So I got the eternal life and the human life. So, flesh and spirit. Okay? The Bible doesn't say the flesh got life. So, it says we have the God life and the human life. It's not true. The Bible doesn't suggest that at all. When you were born again, eternal life supplanted the human life with which you were previously born. This is vital. This is vital. You don't have two lives. You got one. You got one. That's why he doesn't tell us my people are destroyed because they have two lives. He said, because they're ignorant of the one they have. The ordinary human beings, are human beings that have not been born again. They are ordinary human beings. The life they have in their body is the blood life. That's why Jesus told you that if you're born again, if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you, because the life of your body is not blood. You see that? Now, remember, when Jesus died on the cross, a soldier wanted to find out whether he was dead or not. And he went to Jesus on the cross and thrust a spear through his side. And when he thrust that spear through his side, the Bible tells us that blood and water gushed out, meaning that his heart had ruptured. The heart had broken. It had ruptured. So his blood all gushed out. So Jesus was buried without blood in his body. Are you hearing this? So that was a sacrifice. His blood was shed for many, for the remission of sins. His body was buried without blood. And so when the Holy Ghost, the Bible says, he was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. That's the Holy Ghost. The Bible says the Holy Ghost overshadowed the dead body of Jesus. Remember, there was no blood. And raised him back to life. His body still no blood. From then on, Jesus walked without blood in his body, but living by the Spirit of God that raised him back to life. Now, to be born again is to be born of that same Spirit. So the life that you have when you're born again is not the life that Jesus had before he died, but the life that he had after he was raised from the dead is the life that works on the human body without the agency of the blood. That's why your body ought to be healed. If there's any wound, it doesn't require the blood to get healed. As far as you got the Holy Ghost in you, he makes alive your physical body. Come on, shout amen, somebody. See how important this is? You are no ordinary person. Someone says, I don't know where I got this sickness from. You don't need to know where you got it from. You know how you can take it away. Hallelujah. That's all you need. You don't need the history of the sickness. You know its future. Glory to God. Man, oh man. If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead lives in you, that same Spirit shall quicken your mortal bodies. Oh boy. Thank you, Lord Jesus. What a life, what a life, what a life. What a life. What a life. Oh, glory. You know why it's so important to listen to the Word of God like this? The Bible says, as we look. Okay, let me not take you too much ahead there. I take you a little backward so you can understand how we got to that verse I was about to give you. Okay, now, it's so simple to understand this stuff. Just look at the Bible. There was a man named Elisha one time. Do you remember him? The young prophet that followed Elijah and became a prophet himself. You remember? Good. Now, Elisha became sick. Elisha the prophet. He was such a big, big prophet. But he got sick. So sick that he died sick. So full of the Holy Ghost. But Elisha died. I don't like the way Elisha died. He was so sick. And he died. Tell somebody, Elisha died. You know, I'm trying to share something with you so you can understand that just because someone's life went a particular direction doesn't mean yours got to go that way. Find out what the truth that God has given to you is all about. Elijah was sick and died in his sickness. A great, great prophet. But God showed us something. And that's what I want to read to you. 2 Kings, chapter number 13. You will like this. Verse 14, everybody read. Again. Okay. You've seen that. Okay. Read verse 20. Again. First three words. One to go. Okay. Read the whole verse now. Did you see that? It says Elisha died and they buried him in the sepulcher. And when they were invaded by the Moabites, they said they were burying a man. Some soldiers were burying a man and spotted some of the invaders. So they said, hey, let's hurry away from here. And then they cast this man that they were about to bury into the sepulcher, or an open grave, of Elisha. The man was dead. So they threw him into the sepulcher of Elisha. The Bible says when the man's body, when the corpse touched the bones of Elisha, he came back alive. What woke him up? The Bible is clear. He says when the man made contact with the bones of Elisha, the dead bones of Elisha, the man was not prayed for. Are you hearing me? The Bible didn't say that God wanted the man to come back to life. No! They mistakenly cast him in the grave of Elisha. The sepulchre of Elisha. The Bible says when the corpse touched the bones of Elisha, he revived. What was in the bones of Elisha? To know what was in the bones of Elisha, you'd have to study the life of that great man of God. Firstly, the one that Elisha followed, okay, who was Elijah. Because Elisha described himself as the man who poured water on the hands of Elijah. Now, Elijah himself so walked with God that one day he checked out of this world alive. He left this world alive. He didn't die. I'm talking about men that knew the spirits. Do you understand? The Bible tells us that certain seasons, Elijah will be sitting somewhere and the Holy Ghost will just carry him away and take him to another city. He would show up in a city without human transportation. Hallelujah. He so believed in the transportation of the Holy Spirit to the point that he was so sure he was going to heaven with that same transportation. Then he said to Elisha, I'm going today. Elisha said, I know. What do you want before I be taken away? Now look, I mean the guy, both of them are on earth. Look at, listen to this type of discussion. What a spirit. If you heard two men talking like that, wouldn't you think they were mad? You think they're insane? I want you to listen to the discussion of two human beings on earth. He says, you know I'm going to be taken away from the earth today. But what aircraft? I want you to listen. Listen to spiritual men talking. Elisha says, I know. Elijah says, all right, now what do you want before I'm taken away? He says, let a double portion of your spirit rest upon me. Ah, he said, you've asked a hard thing. Anyway, if you see me when I'm taken away. Hey. Ah! Hey! He says, if you see me when I'm taken away, you got it. All right. And while they were together still talking, the Bible says a chariot of fire came down, whisked Elijah out of the earth. Boom! And he was gone. And Elijah cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. Yes, all right. Woo! Elijah, his mantle, he didn't need it in heaven. He dropped it. Elisha picked up the mantle of Elijah. Yay! The mantle is an overcoat. All right? So he picked it up. And then the Bible tells us the sons of the prophets, they were all watching. They all had an intuition that something was about to happen. So they came out there. And while they were on the other side of Jordan watching, suddenly they didn't find Elijah. But they were accustomed to the fact that from time to time he was carried away by the Spirit. So they thought, well, maybe the Spirit has taken him. They didn't see the chariot. Only Elisha saw the chariot. So they said, hello, Elisha. Can we come and help you look for Elijah? He said, you don't need it. No, no, we noticed he suddenly disappeared. Can we come help you? Then Elisha knew, because they didn't see the chariot, he was now the senior prophet. He saw what other prophets couldn't see. Can you shout hallelujah? Wow. Now let me tell you, when he said, let a double portion of your spirit rest upon me, the meaning of double portion is found in the book of Deuteronomy. It's based on a law of God. And God said, if a man has six sons, for example, and he divided his inheritance for the sons, he said he must divide the inheritance into seven places. He has six sons, the inheritance should be divided into seven places. Now, the last son gets one, the next son gets one, the next one gets one, and so on until the sixth son gets one. So, six portions gone. The fifth son gets one. Now, the sixth son gets the sixth and the seventh portions. Meaning that he has a double portion of what everybody else has. That's the proof that he is the senior of the rest of them. So when Elijah said to Elijah, let a double portion of your spirit rest upon me, he wasn't asking for double anointing. He was asking for the place, the senior post, the first post. Now, what is the implication of that? The senior prophet was the one that had the revelation. The most important revelation for the kingdom was given to the senior prophet. And he was the one who had the message for the kingdom. And he ruled the kingdom with the word of God. So when he said, I want a double portion of your spirit, that was the reason Elijah said to him, you have asked the hard thing. Because you're asking to become the next senior prophet. How could you be? Now, I'm not talking about senior prophets that are senior supervisor. I'm not talking about in ministries where they say chief overseer, senior overseer. No! I'm not talking about the overseer, I'm talking about the seer. Oh, Hallelujah. Glory to God. And you know, if God doesn't show you something, you can't see it. You may oversee, but you will not see. All right. Hey. Okay. Now, he noticed all of them didn't see the chariot of fire that took Elijah away. So he had the mantle. I want you to understand, he was not always carrying the mantle of Elijah. He left it after a while. Didn't need the mantle no more. Because the power was not the mantle. The power was the Spirit. Now he took that mantle and came to the Jordan. And I want you to notice, we didn't follow how they got here in the first place. Elijah was such a man of God. When he got to the Jordan, he split it in two. That's what happened. And walked through. I mean, he didn't need to carry the whole of Israel on his own for his convenience. That's the kind of man Elijah was. Now Elisha is on this other side. He's got to go over. And the prophets are watching from that side. Can we come and help you? No. So what are you going to do? Don't worry. So they're watching him. Then he comes to the Jordan. He takes the mantle of Elijah. Where is it, ransom? Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Catch! The water of the Jordan split in two. Wow, wow! When the prophets saw it, they said the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they all bowed to him. Are you still there? Because what they couldn't do, they saw Elijah do, and now they see Elisha do. And he said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And it happened the same way as it did for Elijah. And he said, behold, the spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha. And they listened to him. Praise God. Now, this is the Elisha that God seek. Are you there? This is a man that had known the Spirit of God. He had so known the Spirit. He had so contemplated the power of God that it rubbed off on his bones. They tell us about St. Francis of Assisi, who contemplated the cross of Jesus Christ so much until he so preached about the cross. He said, when I die, open my body. He said, you will find the very imprint of the cross of Jesus Christ in my heart. Now, authorities say that when he died, his body was opened and his heart was found to be so, with the mark of the cross right there. He so contemplated it. He so meditated on it until the very sign of the cross was stamped on his heart. He had come to know it to be so. We're talking about walking with the Holy Spirit. Are you still there? We're talking about the life of God that he has given to us. He says, when that corpse touched the bones of Elisha, the man didn't need prayer. There was no meditation necessary by the family to say, hey, hey, hey. Nobody. It was the bones, the very bones of Elisha that made contact with the dead man. The dead man came back to life. My goodness. What does that tell us? Man, oh man. What does that tell us about us? Let me give you another story. In the 34th chapter of the book of Exodus, when you read from the 28th verse, a man by the name of Moses had been in the presence of God for 40 days and 40 nights. He heard God. Now listen, he was being given the 10 commandments. Only 10 commandments. These were few sentences. That would not need a whole day. Why did he need to be there for 40 days and 40 nights just to receive the 10 commandments? I'll tell you, it was more than 10 commandments. It was there that he contemplated the commandments of God. It was there that he meditated on what we call the doxa, the glory of God. Until The Bible says that the glory of God so rubbed off on Moses that he did not know that his face was shining, radiating with the power of God. There was such radiance of glory emanating from the face of Moses. The Bible says Moses didn't even know. But as he stepped down Mount Sinai, the people saw him and they began to run away. He said, come back, come back. Why are you running? They said, your face, Moses. Your face, your face. Your face, Moses. Your face is shining. We can't see because of the glory that's coming out of your face. Oh, Moses had to take a veil to cover his face. Are you still there? How did he get it? From meditating on what you call the law of Moses. Now here's the point. The children of Israel saw it as laws. What did Moses say about the law? He said it is your life. To Moses it was life. To the people it was a law. You see the difference? The word had come to mean something more to Moses. To the point it now had an impact on his physical body. From then on, the Bible tells us, when Moses went to prayer, he took off the veil. But when he came out to the people, he covered his face. Now, the Bible tells us that that glory that was on the face of Moses is now inside us. Second Corinthians. We're reading from verse 7. Are you there? But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more that the ministration of righteousness exceeding glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. Oh my goodness, I hope you're understanding what I'm reading to you. This is just wonderful. Verse 11. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now, the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. This is wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Ah, yeah, yeah, yeah. Wonderful. Need I say more about that? He says, the glory that we have now far exceeds the glory that Moses enjoyed. He says, we use plainness of speech. He says, we don't need a veil on our face. He says, but even with our open face, as we behold the glory of God in the Word of God, he says, we are metamorphosed. We are transfigured into the same glory that we see in the Word of God. When you see, oh, no wonder he says, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. But I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. He says, but he shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Ignorance. He says, they know not, neither will they understand. He says, they walk on in darkness. He says, but I have said, ye are gods. And all of you are children of the Most High. He says, but ye shall die like men. Why? Because they know not and will not understand. But if they know and understand, remember the words of Jesus? He said, if they hear with their ears and see with their eyes and understand with their heart, he says, I should heal them. You see that? I should heal them. Which means the healing power of God is automatic if you hear with your ears and see with your eyes and understand with your heart. Healing cannot be held away from you. He says, so they don't know and they don't understand. So they shall die like men. Like men. For he says, I have said ye are gods. So why will you suffer like men? He says, because you don't know and you don't understand. But if you know, if you understand, how do you know? By hearing and seeing. If you know and understand, then you will function as gods. That's what it means. They which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life. You see that? In the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, you read in verses 11 and 12 that handkerchiefs and aprons were taken from the body of Paul. Handkerchiefs and aprons were taken from the body of Paul. In other words, clothes that got on Paul, when they took them back and put them on the sick and the demon possessed, the Bible says the demons, for contacting aprons and handkerchiefs from Paul, the demons fled. They fled. Man, oh my. No. Demons fled when handkerchiefs and aprons were brought from the body of Paul. They fled. Sicknesses dispersed. They leaped out. Poyah. Why? He just gave us this message. It was Paul who wrote what I just read to you. That the glory that was on Moses' face has come to reside. That will tell you the understanding of the man Paul. You have to come to this understanding that because you're born again, no sickness in your body can remain. No disease can remain in your body. It should not stay. After you have heard this word, not after you have heard this message, no sickness should remain in your body. You are to lay hands on the sick. You are to go and heal others. That is what you're supposed to be doing. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Somebody will leave his crutches behind today. Are you hearing me? Somebody will leave his wheelchair behind today. Are you hearing me? You are coming out of that pain. You are coming out of that infirmity. Today there will be a separation between you and that sickness. Today. The Holy Ghost in us. I said the Holy Ghost in us. Ay, 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 ay. The Holy Ghost in us. Is He in you? Do you have the Holy Ghost in you? He said, if the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead lives in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also vitalize your mortal body by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. That same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that same Spirit You know what you're supposed to do? How do you get that power to work? How do you get that power to work? You've got to stir that power up. You've got to stir it up. The power of the Holy Ghost in you must be put to work. Because it's there. Notice, it didn't work for Elisha. He died of sickness. But the power was in his bones. If it could make a dead man come to life, what could it have done for Elisha himself? God proved to us that even though Elisha died of sickness, the power did not fail. So it was not the power of God that failed Elisha. He did not apply it in his health. Somebody said, I don't understand. When I pray for people to get healed, but when I get sick, nothing, I can't help myself. Yes, you are like Elisha. Because you're supposed to know what to do with the word of God in your own life. That's what Paul said. That's why Paul was not sick. He says, we with open face, beholding us in a mirror the glory of God, we are changed. Changed. As we look, we are changed. We become what we see in the word of God. The more glory we see in the words, the more glorified we are. You know, sometimes some people say, when you are sick, Jesus comes to you. It might sound so nice. Jesus comes to you and shares your pain with you. Jesus comes to you and shares your sickness with you. Jesus comes to you. It doesn't matter how softly spoken it is, it's a lie. It's a lie from the pit of hell. Jesus doesn't come to share your pain. Oh, come on here, somebody. Come on. Nice. Listen. Let me tell you what the word says. In St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8 and verse 17, the Bible says, Himself, not both of us, Himself took your infirmities and bore your sicknesses. He's not sharing it. He took them away. Himself, not both of you. Himself. That's King James Wilson. He alone took your infirmities, bore your sicknesses. He got rid of them, nailed them to the cross. You ought to walk free without sickness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo! My. He doesn't come to share your pain in a hospital. He doesn't come to share your sickness. You know what he tells you? Son, arise. Sickness is an old saying. It doesn't matter what you're going through right now. It doesn't matter what the pain is right now. It doesn't matter what the infirmity you're experiencing right now. You ought to say, I refuse to be sick. I refuse. Oh, glory to God. My. Oh, thank you, Lord. I walk in health. I walk in victory. In the name of Jesus. I refuse to be sick. I walk in the glory of God. I refuse to be sick. I've come to my place of health. I've come to my place of strength. Oh, glory to God. I refuse to be sick.
is a seed, when planted and watered, grows to be great. You can be anything you want. You can achieve all your dreams if you only believe. The word is a seed, when planted and watered, grows to be great. You can be anything you want. You can achieve all your dreams if you only believe. The word of God has come to you, living in your heart. Would you believe it? Dare to believe. But it's only for a while. Yeah. So be strong. Be encouraged. The time for the change is now. You may be down. You may be discouraged. But it's only for a while. So be strong. Lift up your hands. Say, I'm born. The word has come to you. Oh, yeah. The word of God has come to you. And is working for you right now. Dare to receive. Lift up your hands and receive. Lift up your head, say.
Time to shine. Before. Did you hear me? In the night, just speak in tongues and speak in tongues. When you are on your own, speak in tongues more than before. As you speak in tongues in secret, you will see the glory of God openly. Can you shout amen, somebody? Speak in tongues in secret. You will see the glory in the open. Speak in tongues in secret. I said you see the glory of God in the open. Yes. Let's speak in tongues for a moment. Go ahead and speak in tongues.